Bethesda Blues and Jazz and the D.C. Legendary Musicians present Lady Mary and In the House Band with special guests Jimmy Smooth and Moshe at Bethesda Blues and Jazz on Sunday, September 22nd. Lady Mary is a powerful singer with a talented 9-member band In the House, performing classic R&B, Motown, Southern Soul, and a special tribute to local legend Chuck Brown. Also performing is dynamic singer Jimmy Smooth and extraordinary trombonist Moshe. And the MC for the evening is WPFW's Sandra Butler Truesdale. That's this Sunday, September 22nd, at Bethesda Blues and Jazz, with doors open at 5 p.m. and showtime at 7 p.m. For tickets and information, visit BethesdaBluesJazz.com or call the box office at 240-330-4500. Oh, you treat me so true.
Is WPFW 89.3 on your radio dial. Stay tuned for We Only Want the World with Sunsara Taylor.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the special edition of We Only Want the World with me, your host, Sunsara Taylor. I want to ask you right at the top to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sunsara Taylor, and I'm really happy to be with you here on WPFW for the special live broadcast. And a little bit later in the hour, we're going to open up the lines and bring you into the conversation, so stay tuned for that. But tonight, this hour is going to be dedicated to discussing a truly historic plan and proposal being put forward by RefuseFascism.org, starting with a mass meeting right here in the nation's capital this Sunday. And it's a proposal to consider and plan for sustained, nonviolent mass protest beginning this October. Protests that continue week after week, becoming day after day, and not stopping until this demand is met. The Trump-Pence regime must go now. And the vision is akin to what was done in Puerto Rico, where people took to the streets and drove out their governor, or what is going on right now in Hong Kong. This is not a proposal for protest as usual, because we're not facing a regime in power that is anything like the usual. The Trump-Pence regime has, as we've all been dizzied by, we've witnessed, we've been horrified by for the last 2.5 years, it's been shredding norms. It's been unleashing unbridled white supremacy, mass murder. It's been terrorizing immigrants and separating children from their parents. It's been shredding environmental protection. It's been ripping up civil liberties. And in the last 24 hours, this regime has massively ratcheted up the threats of war against the people of Iran. So this is a very serious situation we are facing, not just for the people in this country, but really for the people all over the world, because the United States really is the sole superpower. And what happens here affects people all over the world, especially at a time of global climate catastrophe and nuclear threats. So for all these reasons, I'm so grateful to be able to bring to you two amazing guests to talk about this, to talk about how they see this, what we're all facing, and what needs to be done to stop this danger facing humanity. So first I want to introduce Andy Z. Andy is a spokesperson for Revolution Books. He's also a leader in the national Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour, which is currently traveling the whole country and which I am part of with him. And he is, as am I, a co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org. Andy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Sunsara. I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. So also on the line with us live tonight from Texas, but she'll be in D.C. with us all this weekend, is Coco Das. Coco is a writer, and she is a member of the National Editorial Board of RefuseFascism.org. And I urge everybody to visit that website for what's on it in general, but also to read what she and Sarah Rourke and some of the other writers on that page have written. She's a very moving and compelling writer. So Coco, welcome to We Only Want the World.
Thank you, Sunsara. It's good to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you both here with me live. So I think we should just start. I kind of gave a little preview about the theme of the program and the mass meeting and the proposal being put forward this weekend on Sunday down there. But maybe, Coco, you could just talk a little bit more about what's the vision and why are you planning this? Why are you organizing this? What do you see as the need and how can people find this?
Yeah, so, well, I'll just repeat first that so what we're calling for is a mass meeting on Sunday, September 22nd, to consider and plan for sustained nonviolent mass protests beginning this October with the single unifying demand the Trump-Pence regime must go now. And you spoke a little to why that's necessary. I know Andy will speak more to that. But look, we saw these inspiring examples in Puerto Rico where it took them 15 days to drive out a governor that was a danger, a hated, homophobic, misogynist governor. There was plenty of reason to drive him out. In Hong Kong right now, people are pouring into the streets day after day in incredibly creative ways. And, they have a number of demands. But actually, in the last 2 or 3 years since 2017, we've seen these examples over and over again. In South Korea, where they demanded that their president be impeached and then demanded that she step down from power. In Algeria, in Sudan, in Armenia, over and over again, we've seen that these regimes cannot withstand the political crisis that happens when people stop waiting for the normal channels and actually take history into their own hands and get into the streets and refuse to leave. And we're talking about sustained nonviolent protests, but with a demand that these regimes just they cannot withstand the political crisis that comes from that. So there is no less reason. In fact, there is all the more reason for us to do that here, because there is not a more dangerous regime to humanity and the planet than the Trump-Pence regime. So we are inviting people to come. And the reason we're doing this in D.C. is because there are a number of actions happening in D.C. There's the climate strike. There's the We the People March on Saturday. On Monday, there are calls to shut down D.C. Over the climate. So in between that, everyone who's activated and outraged and sickened by what this regime is doing, we call on you to come and be part of this movement, be part of the dialogue and the planning that needs to happen. The normal channels are not going to solve this. Waiting for 2020 is not going to solve it. The results of the 2020 election is far from favorable, it's not a given right now. Trump can very well win. And what are people going to do if that happens, or if he loses and refuses to step down, which many people have also hinted at? So this is the time to act, and to not act right now is complicity. We have concentration camps at the border. Immigrants are being tortured. The Democratic Party has not even committed to using one of the tools, the most powerful tools that it has at its disposal, which is to impeach. They voted for the wall. They funded the wall. So it's really up to us. So again, we invite you to come and be a part of this with us, be part of the discussion. And, let's figure out how to do this, because it needs to be done. It's Sunday, September 22nd at 11 a.m. at the Steinbrück Center, which is at 1226 Vermont Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C. And you can also go to refusefascism.org, and you can sign up there. You can RSVP and find out more about who we are and how to get in touch with us.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I was going to ask you to say more about the normal channels, and maybe we'll come to more of that as we go, while you're saying that they will not work. But then you came to it at the end, and I'm really glad you did, because there is a tremendous amount, I mean, tens of millions of people deeply, viscerally hate Trump and everything he stands for. There's a tremendous amount of angst and anger. And yet people are largely acting through protest as usual, through elections as usual. They're relying on the normal channels to deal with this. So that's something I think we have to return to. Why are the normal channels not going to measure up to the emergency we're facing? So I wanted to ask Andy if you could speak a little bit. I mean, if you want to add to anything that Coco was speaking about, but also to maybe pull back the lens a little bit on why, what does it mean to call this regime a fascist regime? What does that mean? Why does that distinction matter? And then how does that shape how people need to respond to it?
Well, look, I think this, what has to be recognized and too few actually want to confront of whether or not fascism could actually happen here when it's actually unfolding right before our eyes. But there's a lot of belief people have in that America just couldn't actually be that bad, and as well as a very stereotypical view of fascism in terms of the end point of what it looked like in Germany. But the essence of this is that fascism is a much more blatant form of how this ruling class rules. It dispenses with all the democratic and civil norms that that people through which this system has operated up till now. And you can see already that there's things, the separation between church and state, the separation of powers, such as they are, you know, they do facilitate the, as they are now and as they have been, they facilitate the American empire, the exploitation, oppression of people all over the world. But there's a certain amount of space for civil discourse and for democratic rights here. Fascism gets rid of all that, and you can see the tremendous progress that this Trump-Pence regime has already made. At the same time, I mean, as you do that, it much more will rule by what is essentially open terror and violence. And, you know, you can see the laws that are changing already across the country, where now, in I think 14 states, it's legal if people are blocking a highway for somebody who's annoyed by protesters to run them over and say, oh, well, I didn't mean to do it, and that it's excused. You can see the kinds of penalties that are going on. You can see the obstruction that's going on in Congress. So this is a very definite difference about how fascism rules. It also, as doing this, it wields the full power of the state against the people. And at the same time, it relies on fascist mobs of people to and organizes them to commit crimes and to intimidate people. Refuse fascism itself has faced this in a protest we had 2 years ago down where Coco's from in Austin, Texas. Over 250 of these fascists showed up with automatic weapons and rifles to surround the protest. And this kind of intimidation goes on all over the country, including, as people know, in Charlottesville, where one of these fascists ended up killing Heather Heyer. So when you're faced with something like this, you need a qualitatively different kind of response than either politics as usual or protest as usual. And by protest as usual, we had massive protests, the Women's March once, twice. The last one wasn't that big, but the previous ones were quite large. But they were people coming, representing their dissatisfaction, but then going home and going about their lives and at most getting involved in working in the elections, which are not going to actually redress this, which is what the Women's March has now turned into, another voter registration organization, essentially, with an emphasis on women running for office. But you are not going to be able to deal with this that way. The kinds of protests we're having now, the righteous protests like the Never Again movement, like the climate movement, like the people who are down at the border helping and protesting what's happening to the immigrants, they are righteous, they're just, and they must be supported. But the thing we have to actually recognize is that fascism has the ability and the capacity to absorb protest around any one of the many things that it's doing to the people. And it can absorb that, it can switch its focus, move from here to there, keep everyone off balance. But until it faces a major political crisis, you're not going to be able to dislodge it. And more than that, you're going to have to arouse the people to put that pressure and create a political crisis from below that compels the people who people have been relying on, the Democrats and the, you know, and those Republicans who've largely left that fascist party, to do something about it, which they will not do because, from my point of view, they're a ruling class party themselves. But we can get into that a bit more through the discussion. But you're not going to actually get them to act. You have to compel them to act. So that's why we're proposing a form of struggle that hasn't taken place as yet in this country, where people begin week after week protesting and where eventually becoming day after day in cities across the country, growing from thousands to tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands, to the point where there's a political crisis that creates international pressure, international embarrassment, raises a question of legitimacy and at this of the system itself. And at this point, we can have the power actually to compel a section of the people in the top of the society to actually move with haste to remove both Trump and Pence and to weaken the regime as a whole.
Yeah, you mentioned that one of the characters of fascism is that it can absorb different acts of protest against this or that outrage. And I think this is really important, and we've seen this. I also think it's worth people thinking about what we've seen as well with this regime absorbing other kinds of roadblocks. Legal rulings, temporary restrictions on its intents. If you think back, it absorbed the protest around the Muslim ban, and it absorbed two legal restrictions from the Supreme Court saying they couldn't implement it, and then they kept working on it, and now it's in effect. Or you think about the childhood separation a year ago and how shocked the conscience and the hearts of millions and tens of millions of people were in this country and around the world at the images of these children ripped from their parents, the audio that we heard. And the courts did step in and block that, put an end to child separation. A year later, we find out that many, many, many more children have been separated, and there's full-fledged concentration camps at the border. This is the character of fascism. It will absorb the protest around one or another single issue. It will absorb legal blocks. It will absorb protest even from within the halls of power, from Congress, objections. It is steamrolling. And I think if you take a long view, you have to confront that. Not that long a view, but we're talking 2.5 years, but it does get dizzying when you live through it day by day. But if you look at the pattern, that's what's played out. So let me take a moment and remind you, if you just tuned in or if you've been listening the whole time, this is a special broadcast here on WPFW-FM radio. Of We Only Want the World with me, Samsara Taylor. This is streaming live around the world at WPFWFM.org. And my guests are Andy Z, a co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org and a spokesperson for Revolution Books, along with Coco Das, who is from the editorial board of RefuseFascism.org. And we're talking about a mass meeting that is planned by Refuse Fascism in D.C. this Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Steinbrück Center. That's 1226 Vermont Avenue, Northwest Washington. And we're talking about the plans being discussed there to launch Puerto Rico-style mass protests aimed here at driving out the Trump-Pence regime. So, Andy, I wanted to ask you, you have been, as have I, we've been traveling the country as part of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour, spreading the need and organizing people into the movement for an actual revolution and letting them know about the new communism that Bob Avakian has developed and what kind of future that makes possible. From that perspective, it would be helpful if maybe you could talk about why, from the perspective of seeing the system itself as the problem, have you thrown in so much with this effort to unite with people who are, frankly, coming from very different perspectives in the Refuse Fascism movement to oppose this regime?
Yeah, it's both frankly that they've come from different perspectives, but also it's very necessary. There's a common interest that everybody who cares about justice, who cares about humanity, who cares about the future of the planet needs to come together, as Coco said, behind one unifying demand, which people feel deeply, which is that the Trump Pence regime must go, and they must go soon. They must go now. To wait would be immoral and actually quite dangerous. Because, look, fascism, and why are we who are advocating for and organizing people for an actual revolution to overthrow the system so passionate about and throwing our efforts into this broad-based movement that we're trying to build to actually drive out the regime? This is an important question that you're raising. I'm glad you asked it. Because, look, fascism impacts the ground on which people are going to live. It actually is existential for humanity in the sense that while the Paris Accords around the environment were grossly insufficient to actually completely reverse the amount of climate change, they were a step in the right direction. The Trump regime has not only pulled out of that, but step by step gone against every measure here, so that the of environmental protection. So the planet's at stake. We mentioned earlier the threat of war now with Iran, and this is extremely serious. This is from a president who said that, if we have nuclear weapons, why can't we use? So this affects everybody's lives, even as at the present time, most of the people in this country aren't directly affected, and because of that and a whole way of approaching the world of looking out just for me and what affects me is what's important and how I feel about things, they are sitting dormant, which is why, by the way, our tour, and it's not by the way to you, but our tour is titled, You Think You're Woke, But You're Sleepwalking Through a Nightmare, which is true both about the nature of the system people live under and the nature of this fascist regime and what has to be done about it. So the stakes are grave for humanity, but the stakes are extremely sharp for the revolutionary movement because fascism coming to power probably means the destruction of the movement for revolution. That's been historically true. That's actually a big impetus for fascism in many cases.
What Pastor Niemöller said. First they came for the communists. That's what happened in Germany, and there's a reason for that. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in that case, the communists were a major force in Germany, and they did, they were actually a leading oppositional force. But even in cases where they're not, such as here, where we're just rebuilding a revolutionary communist movement based on the new communism developed by Bob Avakian, it's preemptive, not just aimed at because we exist, but the actual contradictions of the system itself give rise to the potential for revolution. And this is what we base our movement for revolution on, what we call the five stops. Five things that this system does to people that can't be reformed. The oppression of black people, I'm going to shorten them here. They're more elaborate. People can find them on revcom.us. The oppression of black people, the demonization, degradation, and deportation of immigrants, the drive towards war, the devastation of the environment, and the misogyny and patriarchy that oppresses women and people of different genders. And these things are both tremendously oppressive to people here and all around the world, and at the same time, they are things that cannot be reformed. And as such, they give rise to the basis for an actual revolution. And it's looking at that contradiction, those contradictions, that we say on our tour that you're faced with two choices. Either you let the world go on as it is, with all that means for humanity, or you choose an actual to get involved with and find out about the revolution that actually is possible, which most people don't know about, which is in this new communism developed by BA, by Bob Avakian, and the kind of future it could bring into being, which is one where humanity could actually really flourish, where people could actually treat each other as human beings, and where you're overcoming all these forms of oppression, going to work on that. But none of that happens if this fascist regime consolidates power. It's actually the ground upon which we're fighting for an actual revolution. And the counter-revolution that we're seeing evidenced in these rallies that Trump holds, that we're seeing evidenced in these fascist mobs that appear at different times, the mass murders of which Coco spoke, these are the manifestations of the kind of future and the vision of a white America under the banner of really a Christian fascist vision that's concentrated in Mike Pence, and that Trump himself has taken up, as hypocritical as it is for him. He's taken this up as part of his road to power and consolidating this rule. So all of this is why we who are working for revolution are also working and advocating for refuse fascism and trying to play a very key role in setting up an organization where those who believe that this system is the road to progress, or who think that it's not right now, but it could be, as well as those of us who feel that the problems that give rise to fascism are rooted in the system itself, where we can actually come together around a demand that which we would all support, which is that the Trump-Pence regime must go, and that in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. And then for us, the struggle will continue. We will be building our movement in the course of this while uniting and adhering to the principles of the single unifying demand. And I just have to say one more thing, Sansar. I know I'm speaking for a while here, but people should really understand that when people come together the way we're talking about, in their tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and ultimately millions, day after day, week after week at first, that all the tightly woven chains of that oppress people, the actual literal oppression that people face from their economic and their position in society, but also the mental chains, all of this begins, and that weighs people down, all this begins to break apart. And you will have a flourishing of debate and dialogue and a sense of a burden lifted from people's back, even as we are still fighting to remove the regime. And then once having won that, it will open up tremendous possibilities for every struggle for social justice. And we will continue at that point to be advocating for and organizing for the time when the crisis will continue with this system, which is a longer discussion, when you could actually make a revolution.
Yeah, I think people need to, you know, it's funny, as you're saying this, I was reminded a friend of mine entered in, this is, may seem petty, but it really moved me. It was in the comments section of my Facebook page, and somebody was saying, oh, if you don't vote for the Democrats, you're voting for Trump. It's a binary choice. And this friend of mine, who's also not a communist, she is active in Refuse Fascism, she wrote back and she said, you are so stuck inside the box and of the status quo, which is disastrous. You can't imagine. You can't imagine how liberating and uplifting it is to act outside of that and what could actually be accomplished. And I bring this up because I think people are, there's a real lack of vision of what we could change. There's a refusal to confront how bad things really are, largely because you live in America. And in America, there's a lot of parasitism off the people of the world. There's a lot of comfort. A lot of people don't like what Trump is doing, but they change the channel. It's not their kid being put in a cage. It's not hitting them right now. It's not their relative who can't visit a hospital here because they're from Syria or wherever. So there's a lot that needs to be challenged in people, but there's also a lot that needs to be inspired in people about, and that's, I really appreciate how uplifting it is. How people start to change their thinking and the ways they relate and what they dare to imagine and to become a different kind of values, a different kind of morality that values the lives of people around the world, that's caring for the planet, that's treating women and men and differently gendered people with respect, different nationalities, different ethnic backgrounds. There's a lot that gets shaken loose, and then great debates about what is the real problem, what is the solution, what kind of future should we be fighting for. That, we need that. I think a lot of people know that that is needed. They would, their spirits would soar in that, but there's a crust holding it over, holding it back that has to be cracked through. So, Coco, I wanted to ask you, if we go back, Refuse Fascism didn't just form. It was formed right after Trump was elected and actually had a go at this very early on. Actually before the inauguration and back in 2017 in November, organized protests that were aiming to launch the kind of sustained protest to drive out this regime, and had very significant protests around the country in over a dozen cities, that the plan was to go day after day and to do what we've seen in Puerto Rico or South Korea or Sudan or Hong Kong and keep coming back in nonviolent struggle that went from thousands to millions and drew in millions and didn't stop till the regime was removed. I think everybody knows that did not succeed. The regime is still in power and to great detriment to the people of the world. But I wonder if you could speak to why, given having tried this before and it didn't succeed, why try again? And what do you think might actually be happening right now that points to the potential, not the guarantee, but the potential for this to actually succeed this time?
Well, I think the main reason we try again is because it's still necessary. It's even more necessary now than it was in 2017. And, you know, every movement has setbacks, or it has smaller escalations. It fails until it succeeds. I wouldn't say the protests that we held in 2017 were a failure. It came under tremendous attack, and actually fascist forces, including Alex Jones and InfoWars here in Austin, Texas, really saw and targeted the protests that Refuse Fascism was calling, and they saw the power of it. They saw that this, if it succeeded, would be a very significant threat to the regime. And to the fascist future that they're trying to bring into being. So they started a whole smear campaign, you know, which unfortunately too many people fell into to letting them set the terms. But in spite of that, in spite of this massive campaign, 4,000 people came out across the country, and we did not back down. And in Austin, it was particularly sharp because there was the Texas militia that got activated over it, and they were just all too happy to come and surround us with their heavy artillery and their heavy weaponry, and their, I don't even know the names of most of these weapons, and we didn't back down. We held our rally. It didn't succeed in launching the sustained movement that was needed to drive out the regime. But things are different 2 years later. One, back in 2017, there were still a lot of people who were in a wait and see kind of mode, where we didn't have the concentration camps yet. We didn't have children dying in detention yet. There were a lot of things that, even though it was right after Charlottesville, all the signs were there. Now we have 2.5 years of evidence of what this regime is about and what they're trying to hammer into place. And many, many more people see that now. The word fascism, which, you know, was much more contentious back in 2017, is used much more commonly now. People do have a better understanding of the danger that we're facing. Another thing that has changed is that we've been through the blue wave. We've been through the midterm elections. The Mueller report is out, and we've seen that these have become dead-end channels. They have not resolved the crisis. They have not stopped Trump. They haven't stopped the Supreme Court from passing these, legalizing the Muslim ban, legalizing the state-sanctioned discrimination against LGBT people. None of this has actually stopped the regime. So more people are having to face the fact that those normal channels are not going to be the answer. We are going to have to step out of those channels. Checks and balances are being torn apart. They're not there anymore. You know, these things that people used to rely on cannot be relied on anymore. So then what power do we have? We have the power to be in the streets, to vote with our feet in the streets, and to actually create a crisis that this regime has not faced yet. And then I think the last thing that has really inspired people, and even though there were examples like South Korea in 2017, just recently this year we've seen the tremendous outpouring in Puerto Rico and Hong Kong. And that has given tremendous inspiration to many, many people. And you hear people saying, why aren't we doing that here? Well, it's not going to happen by magic. It has to happen by actually struggling for it, building for it, fighting for it. And that's what this mass meeting is about on Sunday, the 22nd. But, you know,
why don't you give the information one more time, just for how people can come to it?
Yes, it's at 11 a.m. at the Steinbrück Center, 1226 Vermont Avenue Northwest. And you can also go to refusefascism.org. There will be a way to RSV and sign up and find out more about how to get there. But yes, there the potential, the basis for this is still there. The need for it is still there. What's missing is the leaders who are going to actually take this out to the millions. I mean, we have many leaders, including you and Andy, and people who work on the website, who are at the chapter and chapters across the country. But it's going to take, you know, many, many more people throwing into this and actually making it happen.
It's also going to take people, I want to make clear, from many different perspectives and different movements, different organizations. If you look at what happened in Puerto Rico, there, it's true, there does have to be organization that says, that takes it on its back and says, we are going to call for this. We are going to begin this. But if you look at how these protests developed around the world, there's a point at which, you know, I saw in Puerto Rico, people brought their yoga classes down into the streets, and they did them there. Or in Hong Kong, there's clearly organization and leadership, but then there's gamers who come out and game in the middle of the protests in the airports. And it's all of society has decided in different ways that they have to relate to this. And I think that's the kind of, you know, it has to begin somewhere, but to really call for the breadth of outrage to be effective in the streets, it's going to be people in many different forms and many different movements, but with the single unifying demand that the regime must go. So I want to take a moment to just remind you, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to WPFW-FM in D.C., streaming live around the world, WPFWFM.org. I'm Samsara Taylor, your host tonight on this special edition of We Only Want the World. And my guests are Andy Z and Coco Das, both of Refuse Fascism. We're talking about an emergency mobilization, a mass meeting being planned this weekend in D.C. amidst the climate march protests, amidst the We the People marches, amidst all the outpourings, uniting with it, but also inviting people in to take this to really a place that humanity needs, is the removal of the regime. So I want to take a minute and share with people an audio, and it's really a resource because we have to understand what we're up against. We have to understand it deeply, the roots of this fascism. We have to understand why it's happening now, why the normal channels will not redress it, and how this kind of struggle from below, from the people of very different perspectives coming together to drive it out, actually does hold the promise and the real realizable potential of removing this regime. And I think there's no single greater resource and speech that pulls this together than a talk that was given by Bob Avakian back in 2017, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, called "The Trump-Pence Regime Must Go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. A better world is possible." And this speech is available at revcom.us, at refusefascism.org. It's an incredible resource for everybody listening and a tool to use to organize others, to help people understand what we're facing and where our real power lies. So I'd like to play the audio trailer of it and just introduce that to our listeners.
We are confronted by, we are now being ruled by a fascist regime, relentlessly assaulting civil rights and liberties, and openly promoting bigotry and inequality. This has caused disgust, anger, and agonizing among huge numbers of people. And there have been many important acts of resistance, big and small, to the continuing outrages committed by this regime and its supporters. But the regime remains in power, and is determined to ride roughshod over all obstacles to carry out its monstrous agenda. And the need for a massive outpouring of people, acting together nonviolently but with sustained determination to create a political situation where this regime cannot remain in power, cries out. The organization Refuse Fascism, refusefascism.org, has put forward a call and a plan and is actively building for that mass mobilization. So this poses sharply the immediate urgent challenge we face. Calling this regime fascist is not an insult, but speaks to the terrible reality. There is a direct line from the Confederacy to the fascists of today, and a direct connection between their white supremacy, their open disgust and hatred for LGBT people as well as women, their willful rejection of science and the scientific method, their raw America First jingoism and trumpeting of the superiority of Western civilization, and their bellicose wielding of military power, including their expressed willingness and blatant threats to use nuclear weapons to destroy countries with the finger of a demented bully on the nuclear button. A regime that, without exaggeration, threatens not just greatly heightened suffering for the masses of humanity, but the very existence of humanity itself. It used to be a common saying, to the person of the right, order is more important than justice, while for the person of the left, it is the opposite. Now the question is put squarely to liberals, and really to everyone. Which, after all, is more important? Order, even if that is the order of fascism, with everything that means? Or justice, even if that means stepping outside of our comfort zone and putting ourselves on the line to prevent this fascism from consolidating its rule and fully implementing its program? Whether we consider ourselves revolutionaries, convinced of the need for a radical overturning of the system and thorough transformation of society, or we believe that it is possible to bring about changes that will lead to a more just society within this system. Whether our understanding is that America is not and cannot be a force for good in the world, or we hope it still can become that, all of us need to come together and act together with the urgency that corresponds to the terrible present and the gravely imperiled future that this fascist regime represents for humanity, and with the conviction that something far better is necessary and possible. Thousands must be organized to take to the streets in cities all over the country, overcoming fear and feeling the strength of their common cause and action and their common aspiration and determination, making clear their resolve to not just make a statement, but to continue, and more than that, to spread and multiply their numbers and impact until millions have been mobilized and refuse to stop until the demand has been met. This nightmare must end. The Trump-Pence regime must go.
Okay, so that was a teaser from the talk, and that was Bob Avakian's voice, the architect of a new communism, and it was from a speech that he gave called The Trump-Pence Regime Must Go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. A better world is possible. And it really is a tremendous resource. It's available. You can watch it on refusefascism.org. Or revcom.us. It's available. It's free. You can download it. You can share it. I really commend it to everybody listening who wants to understand what we're facing. I want to continue this interview with Coco Das and Andy Z of refusefascism.org here on WPFW, streaming live WPFWFM.org around the world. This is a special edition of We Only Want the World with me, Samsara Taylor. I want to continue talking with our guests, but I want to invite you to call in as well, to pose your question or your comment, find out more about what they are planning and why, at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give a call. We're going to try to squeeze in a few questions from you who are at home listening and thinking about these things. While we wait for our first call, let me give the number one more time, 202-588-0893, or if you're on Twitter, you can tweet at me, at Samsara Taylor, and I can grab it there, too, at Samsara Taylor. while we give people a moment to call in, maybe Coco, you could talk. There's a big principle of this movement, of any serious movement of resistance, is to defend those who come under attack for standing up in the struggle. And maybe you could speak a little bit. There's a number of people facing cases out in Los Angeles who are part of the Refuse Fascism struggle.
Yeah, so in Los Angeles, there are a few people who are facing trials, and actually two have already gone on trial for blocking the 101 freeway, the Hollywood freeway in L.A. in back in 2017. Once right after Charlottesville, and once in late November. And, you know, really it was, these were people who were the first forces out there saying, you know, sounding the alarm on fascism, trying to stop a fascist regime before it could start concentration camps. And the LAPD and the city attorney's office has gone very hard after these activists. And Alex and Chantel, who went on trial in June, their trial actually ended in a hung jury. The majority of jurors understood the importance of what they were doing, refused to convict, and the city attorney has come back determined to retry the case. There's also been the LAPD sent in a confidential informant and illegally recorded Refuse Fascism meetings. There's coverage of this in the LA Times, The Guardian, and you can see that up at refusefascism.org as well. So they're facing retrial, and there's also a video that went viral when Steve Mnuchin visited UCLA.
Before you continue on that, I want to just give the number out again because we only have a few minutes left. If you want to call in and pose a question to Andy Z and Coco Das, the number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We do want to hear from a few of you. And go ahead, Coco, with the cases.
Yeah. Just briefly, and you can find out a lot more about these at refusefascism.org. The two students who disrupted a Steve Mnuchin talk, who was the Treasury Secretary for Trump at UCLA, are also facing trial. There's also collusion between the LAPD and the UCLA police, where they stalked Revolution Club members and Refuse Fascism members on campus. And these are very chilling. I mean, these are ways that the state is actually trying to suppress dissent. And it's a huge part of how fascism consolidates. And so people, there are ways to defend these people who are going under trial, to donate to their defense funds. Watch what's going on with the trials, and there's also a number to call Mike Feuer's office, the city attorney in LA, and demand that they drop the charges. And I really urge people to find out more about these cases.
Okay, I'm going to give the number one more time, and we're going to keep talking. So if you want to call in and you got just a few minutes left, we would love to hear from you. Otherwise, we'll keep talking, and we hope that you get a lot out of it. The number to call is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Andy, I want to ask you, for those who are listening, and there are many, many people, this happens on the street when Refuse Fascism is out on the street or when the Revolution Tour is out, there's many, many people who give a thumbs up. They say, yeah, I'm with you. They say, oh, what you're saying and doing is righteous. To people who may be feeling that, listening to you speak, listening to Coco, what do you want to say that might push them from being thumbs up to, oh, yeah, I should really be there with you on Sunday?
We also have a caller on the line.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
Let me take the call.
Okay, go ahead. Caller. Tell your name and what's your question?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. Is that all right?
Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Denise.
Okay, Denise, what's your comment?
My comment is directed to, any human being. But I am a black woman of color, and I reside in Washington, D.C. And I just want to say to people who are preoccupied and overwhelmed with everyday, ordinary survival, we have a lot of issues that we have to deal with. And I find that myself oftentimes don't have energy to really get involved on the level that I would like to. But I would just like to say to anybody, do whatever you can in any way you can, because I have to admit, I'm not very knowledgeable by all these words you're throwing around. I got a lot of my education from watching PBS, even though I graduated from high school right here in D.C. But, you know, you live, you learn, and I just look at how our democracy is being attacked. A lot of the freedoms that we once had, we no longer have. And they're literally trying to make laws to protest, making it illegal to protest, which is supposed to be one of the first rights of being an American. So I just say to anybody that cares and that matters and that want to believe in freedom and justice to do whatever you can. We can't do everything all the time, but let's just do something. So that's my comment.
Well, Denise, I want to thank you for calling. That was, I think that's a very important comment. I want to give the number. We have time for just, we could squeeze in one more person, 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Andy or Coco, do you want to respond to what Denise said?
Go ahead, Coco.
Well, I just think it is very important that you called in and that you're using your voice, and we need your voice and, you know, the voices of everybody, whatever educational background, whatever race, whatever income group you come from. Everybody needs, this is, humanity as a whole is facing a crisis, and everybody needs to come together. And, you know, more people who aren't under the direct boot of this regime, you really need to step forward. So I want to urge the caller and everyone listening again to come to the mass meeting and come talk with us and lend your voice on Sunday, 11 a.m., Steinbrück Center. I'm sure we'll give out that information again. So I just want to say thank you.
Andy?
Yeah, well, I think I agree with that. Denise raises a very perceptive point that I think the listeners need to think about, and all of us need to think about, which is that she's saying the very right to protest is being taken away. And if you think about what that means, that every benefit that people have here in this country is a product of two things. One, the wealth that this country has accumulated from people around the world, as well as people here, the exploitation of people, that the keeping them down and taking the wealth that they create. But also, you know, that any reforms that have been won through tremendous struggle. If that is now illegal and the full force of the government is brought against people who protest, then we're going to be, as she said, taken way back, and everything that's been won will be taken away, which happens in any way in a certain process of the system itself. But she's really right about that. But then the challenge is, she posed an important problem. People's lives are very complicated, and they're busy, especially those who don't have tremendous resources. Child care, just getting by on salary, never mind minimum wage, even getting by on $15 an hour is very tough. So we have to, but we're facing this tremendous danger, so we have to find the ways that people together are solving these problems. you know, where communities are able to come out, where churches and community centers and people themselves are organizing ways to help each other, collectivizing various things that people now do by themselves. And those people who have the resources need to be really thinking hard about, are they just sitting back hoping somebody else is going to take care of this, and never mind what's happening to the immigrants, never mind the conditions of life of other people, or are you going to get out there now and put something on the line, and instead of just thinking that, well, this hasn't hit me yet, and maybe somebody else will take care of it like the Democrats, which is actually not going to happen.
They've already told...
Okay, so okay, I will,
we're
going to
squeeze in one more
up.
Call really fast. Go ahead. Tell us your name and your comment. You have about 30 seconds to 45 seconds. Go for it.
Wow, thank you. Dr. Kokai, I, you know, love WPFW and been listening for quite a while. I don't usually call in, but after hearing Denise, I had to call in. I, too, am a native Washingtonian, 68 years of age. Have gone through a lot of changes and struggles, and I'm very, very active in the community for over 45, 50 years. So I do this kind of work on a daily basis that you guys are doing and that we do in our community. But what Denise was saying having to do with a specific issue, getting the information down to the poor community. I'm going to use that word, poor community. I'm talking about the black community, getting it down to those individuals who don't always get the information, who don't always have an opportunity to get an understanding even of what's going on, as she talked about some of the word divide in terms of some of the words that she didn't understand that you guys are talking about. So this is a pet peeve that I've had for 45 years of organizations, much like the people who are organizing this work, get into the poor community, go into the housing project. Go to where you have men and women who suffer from all of the drudges, drug addiction, alcoholism, school dropout, unemployment, all of that stuff. When we talk about fascism and the effects of fascism, you know, on this country, we know what's happened with black folk 500 years of slavery. So we know that the...
Okay, you have like 10 seconds. I really regret, but we're running out of time. Go ahead.
Okay,
wrap up your comment.
But my point is that when we talk about who does this stuff affect the most, we know that on the social issue it affects this economic. So again, we're talking about black people. So
okay, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Dr. Kokai, I believe, for calling in. We are really out of time. So I do want to say, look, this is a challenge we got to take up together. I know that I invite you to come to connect with me at Sansara Taylor on Twitter. I'm part of the National Revolution Tour. We are taking this everywhere and in among every strata of people, from the housing projects to the suburbs to the campuses. We need to be working together, and we need a lot of more people throwing in on this together with us. I do want to just give Coco a chance to reannounce the meeting this weekend. Coco?
Yeah, Sunday, September 22nd, 11 a.m., Steinbrook Center. That's at 1226 Vermont Avenue Northwest, to consider and plan for sustained nonviolent mass protests. The Trump-Pence regime must go now, and you can go to refusefascism.org. If you weren't able to jot that down, all the information will be up on the website.
Okay, so once again, this has been Sansara Taylor with a special edition of We Only Want the World. Please follow me at Twitter or on Instagram at Sansara Taylor. We can continue the conversation. If you want to be in, you know, raise other questions, please reach out to me. Thank you for tuning in, and I want to thank Outer National for the song from which I got the name of this show and which I play as my intro. I want to thank my guests, Andy Z and Coco Das of refusefascism.org. I want to thank Sierra Schein, who engineered this program and really came through. Did a lot of work for us. Thank you so much. And to Jamila Amadi, the office manager at WPFW, and Katia Stitt, the interim program director. If you missed any portion of this show, or you just want to go back and hear it again or share it with others, and I please urge you to share it with others, you can find it at the archives at WPFWFM.org. And stay tuned, because up next is Jazz Masters edition of Evening Jazz. And to take us out of this hour, I leave you with Camp America from Vic Mensa.
Camp America. So much fun.